Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. With the holidays well underway, fraudsters have found more ways they can take advantage of seniors. Value Penguin, a website that offers consumers objective analysis on a variety of financial topics from insurance to credit cards, offers 8 holiday scams to watch out for this season by Kate Ashford. And the Brookdale Senior Living adds to that many of the other common senior scams and how to avoid them. I know I've mentioned the grandparent scam many times, and unfortunately, it is still duping many seniors out of their well-earned funds. 55 Plus magazine offers an article that describes just how sophisticated, clever, and frightening these scams have become. We'll start with 8 holiday scams to watch out for this season. The holidays are a busy time. Shopping for gifts, decorating, entertaining friends and family. You're often stretched in several directions and have your hands full with last-minute preparations. The last thing that's on your mind, being on high alert for holiday scams. This is exactly what the holiday scammers prey on, this inattention, to swindle potential victims. Most scams are just the same old thing repackaged, said Catherine Hutt, a spokesperson for the Better Business Bureau. And while many of us believe older people are the most susceptible to scams, this isn't always the case. Data shows that younger people are more likely to be scammed, Hutt said, but older people tend to lose more money. According to Hutt, scammers are opportunists who take advantage of whatever's going on in the world and what is in the news to get one over on potential victims. The holidays are a prime time for scammers who try to take advantage of the season of giving and shopping by taking your personal information and defrauding you. So be on the lookout for these popular holiday scams. 1. Copycat sites. Retailers send out a slew of marketing emails during the holiday shopping season, and you probably have a heap of them in your inbox already. But some of these emails might not come from legitimate stores, and the sites they link to could be dangerous, even if they look like the real thing. Sometimes a link in an email may appear to lead to a website you recognize, but in reality, it will take you to a lookalike website that scammers have built to harvest your credit card information or install malware on your computer. In one example of website fraud, the Federal Trade Commission recently seized 9 copycat websites that posed as U.S. military recruitment sites and then collected and sold users' personal information. To identify scams, hover over the links in emails to see where they're really sending you and take a close look at the sender's email address to see if it's truly from the retailer in question. Check the email's address for misspellings and other mistakes that indicate it's a fake. And when in doubt, the safest way to visit a website is to open a browser and type in the web address yourself. When placing an order, always look for HTTPS in the address bar, signifying it's a secure page, said Robert Siciliano, a security analyst with Hotspot Shield. Scammers generally won't take the time to set up secure sites. Note the closed padlock in your browser to back up any HTTPS. If the site you're on is missing these details, close your browser immediately. 2. Fake charities. People typically feel generous this time of year, not to mention reap the benefits from tax write-offs before December 31st, which make it a popular time to give to charities. Charities know this and frequently reach out during the holidays, but so do holiday scammers. One such charity called Help the Vets took in $20 million from 2014 to 2017 and ended up using more than 95% of the donations for its own operating costs before getting caught by the FTC. Not interested in being Scrooged this Christmas? Watch out for sound-alike charity names and always check out your charity of choice at give.org or Charity Navigator, websites that maintain a list of legitimate charities. If your charity isn't listed, it's probably safer to pass on it. It's also a good move to read the charity's website and research how they spend your donation. Scam 3, Help Wanted. Taking on some part-time work around the holidays is a great way to earn some extra income, but sometimes fraudulent recruiters will ask you to shell out cash to get access to these jobs or use this scam to get personal information from you. To avoid these scammers, apply for part-time seasonal work in person or by visiting a retailer's site directly rather than following links. You can also use a reputable online job board such as Snag or Seasoned Workers. Scam 4, Attempted Package Delivery. Did you receive an email about a shipping notification, but you're not sure what was shipped? Well, be wary. Similar to copycat sites, scammers often use this fake shipping notification emails that look quite real to lure you into clicking a link and sharing your personal information with them. To identify a fake alert, know that most retailers will send you a shipping confirmation email immediately after placing an order, including a tracking number so that you can confirm the location of your items, and an itemized list of your order. If you don't recognize the items listed or if you don't remember placing any order in the first place, avoid clicking on any links until you have verified with your family that nobody else has placed an order under your account. Under no circumstances should you agree to pay a shipping company extra money to get your delivery, and you should never be required to provide personal information, such as your credit card number or birth date, with a shipping company to secure delivery. Another variation of this scam, sometimes holiday scammers will leave a bogus shipping receipt on your door, saying that they tried to deliver a package but couldn't because no one was home. The notice often contains a phone number you're meant to call for more details. Double-check the number on the shipping company's website to confirm legitimacy. Otherwise, you could be giving your personal information to a fraudster. And the grandparent scam? Holiday season, seniors receive phone calls from a scammer posing as a grandchild or other family member, claiming that they're in trouble or that they've had an accident. They usually ask grandma or grandpa to send money immediately. If you think this sounds far-fetched, in 2017, nearly one in five people who said they had fallen for an imposter scam lost money to the tune of $328 million. Scam 6, social media gift exchanges. Have you ever seen a gift exchange that suggests that you can buy one gift, mail it out, and then receive several gifts in exchange? Well, skip it. Some gift exchanges are legitimate, but many are considered pyramid schemes and they are illegal. One to avoid, the Secret Sister Gift Exchange, according to the Better Business Bureau. While the scam has been exposed in the past, it still pops up every year. So if you see friends or family posting about it on Facebook this year, you might want to warn them. Really, any setup that claims that you will send something out and get back more than you put in is probably too good to be true. The U.S. Postal Service considers them illegal gambling, said the Better Business Bureau. That applies whether you get the request via postal mail, email, or social media. The e-card and letter to Santa scam. Looking to get a letter from Santa sent to your kids? Well, there are businesses that legitimately do this, but there are also Christmas scams that use this business model to harvest your information and potentially charge your credit card. Be wary of unsolicited emails that offer special prices for letters from Santa or that claim you've only got a few hours to cash in on the deal. And if you want to purchase this type of letter for your kids or grandkids, use bbb.org to see a list of legitimate companies that offer this service. And finally, free gift cards. Retailers offer a variety of deals around the holidays, and you may receive emails offering a free gift card if you click the link or make a purchase. Beware, the link could lead to a site that asks for your, we hear it again, personal information, and then sells it or downloads malware to your computer. Use the same tips recommended earlier, such as verifying that the email address and the URL of the company are spelled correctly before taking part in any offer. Be cautious, too, when it comes to purchasing discounted gift cards from a third party. I once purchased a $500 Best Buy gift card from a seller on Craigslist, said Milan Hasibi, director of content for CreditReady. After meeting with the seller of the gift card, I was able to validate the amount and paid the seller $300 for this $500 gift card. Once I was home, 25 minutes later, the gift card had been wiped empty. The seller had written down the card information and made purchases the second after they sold it. In general, be cautious every time you get any email that asks you to click on a link. Common sense says anytime you receive an offer via an email, automatically be suspect, Siciliano said. The same goes with offers via tweets and messages received in any social media. Scammers are committing social media identity theft every day. Kate Ashford is a writer and content creator who specializes in personal finance, careers, health, and consumer trends. Going on now to 12 Common Senior Scams and How to Avoid Them from Brookdale Senior Living. Unfortunately, senior citizens are one of the most targeted groups for scams and identity theft and fraud. One study estimated that scammers steal $2.9 billion per year from seniors. Well, that's enough to buy a sports team, a summer home in Italy, and a private island or two. Fraudsters target seniors because they're more likely to have nest eggs and are less familiar with technology. Scammers may contact potential victims by telephone, in person, or on the internet through email, Facebook, and other messaging sites. Don't let scammers retire on your dollar. Learn more about these common scams about the ones I'm about to read. Medicare scams. It's hard to imagine that someone could prey on those who need medical assistance, but unfortunately, Medicare fraud is increasingly common. Scammers posing as Medicare representatives may trick elderly people into giving their information over the phone. Some even make false offers for free medical supplies or checkups that require the victim to provide their Medicare information and credit card number for supposed shipping and handling fees. Tax fraud. While stolen Social Security numbers can be used for a host of crimes, one common way scammers use them is to unlawfully claim tax returns for themselves. Hackers can steal Social Security numbers and IDs by creating false websites that look like the real thing, convincing the victim to enter their private information online. Crafty scammers may also trick victims into giving their information over the phone. Identity theft, so common. Fraud involves stealing personal information in order to illegally use someone's identity, and this can be done over the phone or on the internet, and scammers may cobble together multiple victims' information to create a false identity. Funeral scams. In today's world, no one is safe from predatory criminals, not even grieving spouses and family members. These scammers read obituaries or attend strangers' funerals to learn more about the surviving family of the deceased. Then they prey on grieving widows or family members, claiming that their loved one has left behind an outstanding debt. They insist the debt needs to be paid and extort money from the surviving family members. The fake virus scanners. If you have ever seen a pop-up window telling you that your computer has a virus, then you've come close to this type of fraud. These pop-up windows are fake alerts that trick victims into downloading a virus scanner. However, these scanners are actually viruses that give criminals access to private information stored in your computer. Investment schemes. Because seniors are more likely to have a pot of retirement money or other savings, con artists often target them with phony investments that promise a big return. Investment scams may take the form of a pyramid scheme, a complex financial product, or a foreigner who is looking for a partner to claim inheritance money. Overdue utilities with winter coming up, this is an important one to know about. Scammers masquerading as utility workers may call or even show up in person to trick seniors into paying bills that don't exist. They may wear utility workers' uniforms and can even manipulate phone numbers to show your utility company's caller ID. These fake bill collectors often threaten to turn off your utility service within an hour and demand immediate payment. Telemarketing. Well, seniors were raised in an era that valued politeness and good manners, but this makes them even more vulnerable to fraud. Oftentimes, they're less likely to hang up the phone or simply say no to criminals pretending to be telemarketers or representatives of a company. The pigeon drop, one of the oldest tricks in the book. The pigeon drop can be done on the phone, in person, or online. A con artist pretending that they have found a large sum of money says that they are willing to split it with the victim, if the victim will make a good faith deposit. Usually a second con artist is involved who pretends to be a lawyer, banker, or other trustworthy individual. Charity scams. This trick plays on victims' heartstrings. Often occurring after a natural disaster, a criminal will call the victim pretending to be from a charity or relief organization, and they will ask for a donation from the victim, as well as their bank account or credit card information, which they then may use to steal even more funds. The family member in need. In this cruel scam, a con artist convinces their victim to wire money to help a family member who has had an accident or is in the hospital. Today, scammers can even hack into your loved one's email or Facebook accounts and use them to message you and ask for money. Well, how to tell if you're being scammed? Whether it's online or over the phone, here are some signs that you may be the target of a scammer. A con artist may say that you need to act now or the offer will expire, or you've won a free prize but need to pay for shipping and handling. You need to wire money or pay a debt with a gift card. You need to handle payments, deposit funds for another person, or toward money to someone else. Or you may make unsolicited contact. That is, they contact you out of the blue to offer money or a prize. Then there are the fake websites. They may pop up in a new browser window. They will not display the secure lock by the web address at the top of the page. They will look a little bit off or different from how it usually looks and may have bad reviews on Google or other search engines or no reviews at all. And many have typos or bad English. How to avoid these scams? Well, you have to be careful. Take time to research whether companies' offers and unexpected debts are legitimate. Have a loved one help you if necessary. If a caller tells you to act immediately or does not give you time to research a company, probably con artists. Be wary of unsolicited emails and phone calls from companies and people. And if something seems strange about a phone call, simply say no thank you and hang up. Trust your gut. Be careful of unusual emails or messages from family members. If a message contains, again, a lot of typos or simply doesn't sound like your loved one, it may be a hacker. And remember that if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. If you believe you or a loved one has been contacted by a scammer, contact the U.S. Senate's Special Committee on Aging Fraud Hotline online or their toll-free 1-855-303-9470. That's the U.S. Senate's Special Committee on Aging Fraud Hotline. And now just a couple of ideas from MarketWatch. The woodchuck scam. This is a common scam to target seniors who live alone, and scam artists here will claim to be contractors and will complete house projects if seniors agree to let them. The scammers that will then gain seniors' trust and eventually come up with a variety of fake repairs that need to be done, such as roof repair. This often results in seniors giving the fake contractors thousands of dollars. Make sure the person doing your home repairs is a professional. Find out what company they work for and call and verify that they are indeed a legitimate contractor. And then there's the mortgage scam. Con artists are using senior homeownership to their benefit. The mortgage scam is when scammers offer a property assessment to seniors, telling them they can determine the value of their home. This scam has become increasingly popular as housing confidence is hitting record highs and people are putting a large chunk of their income towards saving for new homes. See here, the scam artist makes the process look legitimate by finding the home's information on the internet and sending seniors an official letter detailing all of the found information. Scammers do this because it's an easy way to con seniors into paying a fee for the requested information. Ensure the property assessment is legitimate by asking what company they worked for and follow up with the real company to verify. Older adults are sometimes too embarrassed to tell authorities or family member that they've been scammed. Talk to seniors in your life and let them know that they can confide in you and let you know if they have been scammed. And we're going on now to 55 plus. This is an example of how incredibly sophisticated the grandma-grandpa scam has become. Here we go. The following is a true story about a grandma who fell for the scam. And it is scary. This experience was told to me by a woman I'll call Mary and her grandson I'll call Nelson. Their real names aren't used to protect their identities. When Mary answered the phone, she heard the despondent voice of her grandson. "Mary, Nelson, is that you?" First mistake, let him identify himself. "Boy, Grandma, I'm in bad trouble and I dare not turn to anyone else but you. I can't talk well because I had an automobile accident and broke my nose and cut my upper lip." Now he's covering his tracks in case his voice sounds different. "Mary, well, why were you driving?" "Nelson has an important job working for an airlines and travels a lot. Whenever he goes any place, he flies to keep up training." The boy says, "I'm tired of flying and thought I'd drive this time. I'm in jail in Atlanta. They have taken my phone, wallet, and everything of mine. The accident wasn't exactly my fault. They know that. But it's complicated because it's serious enough so that they are holding me. I'm so embarrassed that I don't want anyone to find out what I've done." Mary heard a man's voice in the background. Boy says, "They say my time is up on my one phone call." And then he's gone. A man who identified himself as an officer took the phone. He offered to see what he could do to help Nelson, and then he transferred her to a more important person. There's a pause while they try to find the man who will judge the case and perhaps cut him a break for a fee of $1,800. Again, Mary was put on hold. The longer she waited, the more terrified she became. And then another person took the phone, but he wasn't sure if he should rightfully help Nelson out. She was told to go to the nearest Walgreens and wire $1,800 to their address and call to tell them she had done it. She was warned not to tell anyone. Mary had to go to the bank to get the money and could have wired it from there, but they were specific and she was afraid. Later, they called back, and she hoped Nelson was let free. But it became more serious. The lady in the other car had gone to the hospital because she lost her baby, and they were considering holding her grandson for manslaughter. Her granddaughter came in just then, and when she told her, she screamed, "That's a fraud man, Grams!" Well, even though they claimed they had taken Nelson's phone, she had called him before sending the money. There was quite a bit of noise in the background, and he said it couldn't talk then. Well, she really believed that he was in jail. However, at the time, he was actually attending car races in Chicago and not involved in any accident at all. These callers target the elderly who may be gullible enough to give them the information they want so that they can relieve you of your money and your identity. A neighbor told me she had that call, and her caller was bold enough to ask for her credit card number. Some callers are smart, and they've done their homework. Listen carefully to what they say and don't offer any information. Instead, ask questions that only your grandson would know. If you get the "Hi, Grandma" call and are not satisfied that this is a scam, call a family member to verify whether or not your grandson is in trouble. But the best thing to do is just hang up. If you have caller ID on your phone, check to see if you recognize a number or name, but chances are there won't be one. Writer of that, Marian Tucker, writes from her home in Fairmont. Now, as you can see from that example, fraudsters have developed the grandparent scam into a complex formula designed to instill the most fear into the grandparent. It is a cruel thing that they are doing for a loving grandma or grandpa. Well, with the knowledge of these many ways that criminals are hoping to scam you, I hope that you are able to have a fraud-free holiday season. Again, if you have any concerns about being a victim of fraud, remember that you can go to the fraud line, 1-855-303-9470. That is the U.S. Senate's Special Committee on Aging Fraud Hotline. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Okay, we are done with one. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.